money, that cost analysis, the benefit cost analysis. Once we have that in place, which we think we'll be able to show that it meets the minimum criteria for applying for a lot of this grant, then we're open to start applying for these other grants. And so CWSD has been a really wonderful partner working with them, and their staffing is constantly looking for a lot of these grants and things that we can do. Because these will impact not only us, but Lyon County. So we're looking to work with those together. And CWSD's staff has taken on a lot of the load of looking for this and getting paperwork and doing that. So that's one of the reasons why it's kind of pushed out, because there's a couple steps in between actual implementation. So it would be something, this benefit cost analysis would come next. Then assuming we get that, then we're going to get monies for design, the actual design. We're at 15% design right now, so it would need to be done to a little bit higher level of design. There's the potential for acquiring land, because the land is actually on private properties, and one area is also BLM land. So there's a lot of pieces in place that have to kind of follow the sequence. So 2028 really doesn't seem that far away when you have to do all those things. And I realize that's hard for a lot of the residents, don't having to wait for like these bigger pictures. And I think that's why we're working on some of these smaller things that we can do up front. But that's part of what the timing is.
Thank you, Kathy. That's very helpful. I guess I would be supportive if we have the capacity to fast track some of these preliminary LICA cost benefit analysis within the next fiscal year or something, if that's something that we can support to get that project moving, as opposed to looking for external funding. I don't know how expensive we're talking about, but it feels to me, I know a lot of the issues in Mark Twain were precipitated by floods in 2017, so we're already 8 years down the road on major fixes and looking at a final solution, not really even starting until 11 years down the road from when those happen. And so anything that we can do to expedite, especially those early steps, I'm in favor of.
And Commissioner Mitchell, if you don't mind, Austin Osborne, for the record, you know, touching on what Kathy brought up toward the end of her discussion too, Public Works has in this plan has been doing some of these critical area improvements, like on Martin and Prospector, things that have already occurred. He's expanding on that are not completely dependent on the completion of this bigger project. So there will still be work occurring down in that area, and we certainly can look at otherwise working with our regional folks on fast track, as you're calling it, trying to get this other project moving as quickly as possible.
Very good. I appreciate those comments, both of them. Thank you. Do we need to include anything in our capital improvement plan for example, like the intersections that we'll need to be putting it out in TRI? Is that something that needs to be reflected here? Even if the sources of funding may come from some different variety or different pots?
I think, Austin Osborne, for the record, so most of the traffic signaled intersections we're dealing with right now are on NDOT right-of-way, and we're working with NDOT for maintenance agreements on that. The district attorney's office is reviewing some, for example, right now. Mr. Brown, in fact, directly, and it's been very helpful. As far as traffic signals on the interior roads, we're not quite aware of any of those. There's one, but it's probably going to be part of an overall agreement with a company. But we can certainly take a look at overall at Tri-Center, what type of intersections might be coming up, and maybe work with legal counsel on how that CIP might integrate with the development agreement that might call for that intersection being paid for by whoever the developer is causing that intersection to be needed, that traffic signal, and then how that would integrate with a tri-payback. It's a little bit different at Tri-Center, but that probably is something we can at least look at, if not in the capital improvement plan, but maybe in the strategic plan, just to keep that on our radar. Does that work for you?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. One of the things that hit my radar is cell coverage in the Comstock Meadows area, and I don't know if that's something that should be spearheaded by private industry, but it's a dead zone, and especially with the development that's happening out there, things are rough, both for our first responders and for people who work in that area. And I don't know what it is that we can do. I know we do have leases where the county owns property and then private companies come in and provide the cell service. I don't know if something similar could be done or anyway, I don't know if it's a capital improvement issue, but certainly something that was just on my radar.
I have a question. Just occurred to me. James, are we able to put a booster in there? Because the whole cell phone situation, you know, living through the Highlands Tower situation, if they really have no interest,
right, just and not I can speak to that directly. So we did just put a 100-foot tower with partnership with NDOT at the top of USA Parkway, very near the county line with Lyon County, which serves our sheriff and fire. That tower has an abundance of capacity. It is owned; it's our property, but it's owned by NDOT. That said, at that same property, we have a 100-by-100-foot commercial allocation. And I know that there has been interest from private companies to come in and build out that infrastructure. So there's interest, which, you know, if a private company comes in, there's construction times. You're looking at 1, 2, 3 years. There's fiber running right by there now. There is conduit for fiber to get up to that location, but there's still no power. And I think the power is the biggest issue there. And it really is the topography of that section of the county. It's very hilly and mountainous, and all signals bounce in there. AM, FM, radio, cell, everything. It just kind of it bounces around, and you don't get good reception on anything. But I think that USA Parkway Tower is key. NDOT would probably have to allow whoever to get on the preliminary tower. But again, there is a commercial spot already allocated, ready to go. That's going to be your final solution. With the carriers, it's tough to get them to do something in an isolated area. They're not going to see much ROI. But that being said, that's going to change. I mean, we're growing out there. The Trek build-out's going to drive demand for this. Google has mentioned this directly. But technically, it's a function of private carriers. And we can sweeten the deals however we want to. Again, the infrastructure is in place, more infrastructure than has ever been in place in that area. So, and I'd look to Laura Mather to advertise that, I guess, as a possibility, and maybe try and get some more people to take some interest, get the carriers to take some interest. And even with that, we may need additional tower sites. Mm-hmm. And we may look at purchasing that or even low-level sites. Another potential avenue for increasing coverage would be working with the Tri-GID. They've offered water tank tops, which, again, throw a cell extender up there. There's already infrastructure. There's already power. It's fairly cheap and easy. You know, the hardest part is working out the legal agreements. But they've offered specifically, hey, if you want to put something on the tower for the county or something like this, I think that's another avenue where public-private partnership could work out real well.
So just to clarify, we could install some sort of booster/extender.
Absolutely.
Without requiring the cell companies to participate.
Correct. We could put, well, it's there, we're extending their signal. So
right. You
take a booster like you get at home, that's something that they support. But if you're actually amplifying or receiving signals, that's their infrastructure. So
gotcha.
A booster is not realistic.
Okay.
We'd be looking at putting in a fully functioning cell site service.
Gotcha.
And again, there's things in place. The water tower idea is a thing we could do today. The tower is available today, and there's a commercial spot available today. Those are some quick avenues. But again, the topography out there is very challenging. One may not be enough.
Right.
So in looking at a potential capital improvement item, would a preemptive county build out of infrastructure to the commercial site be something that potentially sweetens the deal?
Right? Absolutely.
We drive the power, we pay to get it to the place, we make sure that everything's basically
turnkey,
if you will, is some without selecting a particular company, but saying, hey, you know, we're ready to go when you are, and so they don't have
that. We'll build it and they will come. Douglas County does something similar where they have infrastructure and AT&T comes in and they have a lease agreement. It potentially becomes a revenue generation, or at least a way to offset or even recover 100% of the cost of any kind of build out like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. So, yeah, I think I'd support that as well as potentially some sort of dollar amount to reflect potential to work with the GID on something collaboratively.
Right.
if it's possible to add those.
Yeah, great idea.
Did we, in kind of our far future planning, or at some point, you know, one of the things that I think would help with housing stock, and that is the idea of kind of pre-building or pushing out some of the infrastructure here in town into some of the areas that historically have been served or have been inhabited but are not currently. Is that something that we could look at, or as far as, you know, water and sewer being pushed out beyond where the current service is, so it kind of primes the pump for then people to come in and build in those areas?
Yeah. Yes.
Austin Osborne, I'll respond to, probably I'll talk with Jason in Public Works a little bit. There's some elements to that with kind of how you build out a community. That kind of applies across the whole county. So whether it's in Virginia City at the end of L Street, or it's Painted Rock, or it's somewhere else in the county where maybe residential is a potential. Laura, Kathy, and myself from planning, business development, myself respectively, and others, we've been having a lot of conversations with folks from UNR, we're in Nevada Rural Housing, and other agencies in the state on looking at ways to do that sort of thing, whether it's you know, funded by us or not. And one thing that's being done, in fact, Washoe County, one just happened in Reno, and we're taking a look at that, is creating special assessment districts for certain infrastructure to get to a project. And then the project then can take off after that. And then the people of that specific project pay back the infrastructure over a long period of time. There's TIAs and other types of elements too, but the special assessment district seems to be the ones that keeps reoccurring in these conversations, no matter who we talk to. And that might be an idea. I don't know if it's specifically an idea for someone that lives at the end of L Street. I'm just using that as a hypothetical example. But if you were to develop something at the end of town, a cluster of homes or a small development here, maybe a larger development somewhere else in the county, these are mechanisms that we're finding are not only available, but are being used pretty regularly across the state. There's about 100 of them right now in the state that are serving subdivisions and small and large housing and commercial projects across the state. So yes, the answer is yes. We're looking at ways to try to be able to fund something like that without putting the burden on the ratepayer for like a Virginia City system, or the taxpayer for a system that might be in another part of the county for a larger project.
Very good. Thank you. Kind of in line with the strategic plan and the discussion that we had about supporting small business and that, I'm wondering if some sort of a incubator, startup center, funding resource center, something like that. As I mentioned, rural development has programs to finance that type of thing in rural communities, and so I thought it might be worth putting that in. Again, kind of a down the road thing, not anything close. Do we have specific projects or things that need to go on this list related to fiber or high speed connectivity, or are we thinking that that can also be funded through other sources? Should we set aside something is what I'm asking, is even if it's real kind of broad and not specific down the road?
Can I speak to that?
Yeah, please. Sorry, it's a
all good
sore subject right now.
Yeah, all good.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. So for this fiscal year, we've earmarked $1.5 million in the capital improvement project to explore looking at bringing fiber into town. We looked at the state project. It didn't make a lot of sense. We are exploring other opportunities with other vendors, trying not to compete. There's a bunch of legal work and hurdles to jump, but I think we're going to get there. I think we're at the finish line with that, with the end goal being to bring fiber to every business and resident in Virginia City and eventually the Highlands and Mark Twain, the whole county potentially, or being the end goal. With the next phase of that project, we are looking at costs. I already allocated $1.5 million for the next fiscal year, and to be honest, that's looking like it's not going to be enough. So that number is a work in progress, and this will be a multi-year project. But yeah, those are large infrastructure projects. with the dissolution of Comstock TV, the fiber also makes a lot of sense of, you know, bringing streaming services to people. And with fiber, you can also do telephone, which is a telecommunication thing. So there are avenues for finding funding for that, but I have allocated earmarks in the capital improvement plan for this year as well as next year. But again, with the preliminary numbers coming in from vendors, the 1.5 may not be enough for fiscal year 25.
Okay, great, thank you. I'm perfectly fine letting that fluctuate as needed. I think that's a priority for us.
Yeah.
In reference to Long Valley, you know, there's an item for kind of a way down the road, paving the first 2 miles, something along those lines. I'm wondering if my understanding is that some of the residents that are out there do a lot of maintenance on that in the short term, and I'm wondering if we can explore ways to support them in that. I believe the determination is that that is a public road, it's a county road, and as such, I'm not sure how appropriate it is for the residents to be responsible for upkeep on that. And so whether that's providing materials, if they're willing to volunteer to help with access. Obviously don't want to get sideways on private property rights and public right-of-ways, but if there are things we can do, my understanding is they're coming out of pocket to make sure that their properties are accessible, and I don't know if in the short term there's a way for the county to help backstop that or make sure that their lives are a little bit easier in that regard.
I'm happy to. Mr. Please. Chairman Austin Osborne, for the record, county manager. This is probably one of those I would like the board, you know, to take a look at, but, you know, you feel would be appropriate. When we look at a road like that, there's some, you're looking at, somebody like Mike Northern might be on the line that can correct me, but I think we're looking at roughly 800,000 to 1.2 million or something like that for the creation of a new road. The Lostown Road project, for example, the rehabilitation of that, we're looking like roughly $4 to $6 million if it were to be done correctly. So that's a fine thing to look in there, but the number of residents that live at the end of some roads that might need a complete rehabilitation, that's include drainage and paving and base and those sorts of things, not to mention maps and making sure the roads being put in the right place, would be quite costly. So I'd be happy to, however this board would like to direct staff to have that conversation and discuss what we might want to look like or look at with that, as well as similar types of situations across the county, the amount of funds that may go into a project and what it's serving.
Yeah, and if I can get super specific, we do have an item, it's way out, that allocates a pretty good chunk of money for some significant improvements there. What I'm looking at is, can we dump a pile of gravel or something like that so that these residents don't have to go buy it themselves to make sure that the parts of the road that wash out, they have to repair year after year. That's the type of thing that I'm looking at in the short term, not necessarily a big road project, but just a way that full burden doesn't fall on those residents. So, I know there are legal implications and all that as well.
I would, Austin Osborne, for the record, in response to that, so that's some clarity, that's helpful. What I would ask is maybe, can you get an idea about, but not necessarily right this minute, but maybe by the next meeting, maybe you and I could talk on the side of how many miles, how long, what kind of thing. Maybe the county could do improvements on there. We're not talking about a fully paved, based road, but maybe gravel or something of that nature. So 1 mile, 2 miles, the whole thing. That would be maybe some clarity that could help us scope this into putting it into the capital improvement plan after talking with Public Works, Dowell Engineering. They can take a look at it, maybe get an estimate on that, and then we could talk about it the next meeting. I think that would be encouraging.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that offline and bring it back to the board.
Yeah, no, my only concern, and obviously that's my district, so I definitely, everybody in the county, I like folks to get taken care of. The only concern I have is that opens up a can of worms. There's some roads on 6 Mile that are unmaintained county roads, I'd like to see a plan personally, because my concern is that we do it for Long Valley, and then the folks off 6 Mile get upset that they didn't get it taken care of. So it's either like a all or nothing, because you know, access to Long Valley, I know, has been sensitive to those folks. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because we take care of that road a little better, and then it opens it up more to, you know, off-roaders. And so that's a tough one. And like I said, I share your concern, because I actually tried to get the HOA to do some training out there so that we could help grade that road a little bit, because it is a pretty big expense. So, you know, I definitely am open. I'd love to see it come back. But that would definitely be a delicate one.
For sure.
You know?
Well, and especially with the RS-2477 roads right. are designated as well. So we'd have to look and see if there's a fair way to designate this is what we are going to take care of, this is what we're not going to take care of, and
right.
how. But, happy to take a look at it and see
for
if we can bring something back. I just have two last items.
Go for it.
And one is, I know this is kind of a moving target, but I wonder if way out in the distance, if it's wise for us to put something in here, if one of the solutions with the Marlette system is that we acquire and operate the upper portions of that, which I don't know if that's on the table, but it seems like the state is indicated that they may not want to be in the water business in that regard anymore. Is that something that we should take a look at and potentially preview?
Austin Osborne, for the record, a response. Yes, I might be happy to have a conversation with you about that. And we are in the middle of negotiating the Carson City Water Agreement. You all had approved the Story County Water Master Plan at the last board meeting, and that was a major pillar in moving toward that negotiation. The same thing is happening with Carson City. Tumwa is involved with a potential surplus element, as well as the state of Nevada. So that's something we should definitely discuss.
Very good. My last item just has to do with rail funds and use for rail adjacent projects and things. I'm still looking for clarity. The way that I read the regulations are a little bit different than the way that it looks like some of these funds are going to be used. And so I'm hoping, I know that the DA's office is super busy, but if we can get some clarity before the next meeting, because I'm supportive of all of those that are kind of tagged as rail projects, but they in many ways are adjacent to the V&T railway project, which some clarification there would be helpful, because I'm supportive of using rail funds for those if it's proper. I'm just not sure that that's necessarily the proper use of those funds. So I thought I'd mention that.
And if you'd like, I'll respond to that. Austin Osborne, of course, comptroller's here as well. Hopefully we got them right, but the items in here that show that there's rail funds being used for that, we believe that those rail funds are eligible to use for that project, like the depot, for example. There's some other things in there that are rail adjacent. We certainly, before moving forward with that, work very closely with Jennifer's office, the comptroller, as well as the DA's review to make sure we are allocating those funds appropriately. So you're on the right track with that, no pun intended. That we would be looking at that, of course.
Very good, thank you. Yeah, my concern is not about the subject of the projects, it's just the way or the proper way to allocate those funds. It appears to me that it's the Rail Commission that is supposed to initiate or identify those projects and then request that they be funded from the county. And so if that's a correct interpretation of the statute, then that's something that would require us to make sure we have buy-in from the Rail Commission. That's most of what I got. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Vice Chairman Mitchell.